Call the meeting to order. For the record, Representative Davies, Representative Cott, Osterman, Nogan are present. We have a quorum. Today we'll be hearing first HB 58. So the chair's intention to postpone the hearing until on House Bill 102 until next week. When we're finished with 58, we will recess until 1 p.m. and return to take up House Joint Resolution 7. Representative Bundy, I'd like to.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, committee members, for giving me the opportunity to present the Chickaloom Flats bill. This bill comes from a request of a number of businessmen, duck hunters in Anchorage, who, while they're business and development and resource-oriented people, they also are duck-oriented people. So that's the genesis of the bill. Some of you heard the bill previously. What it does is establish on the Kenai Peninsula across from Anchorage a critical habitat area, an area that, if I could just pass this around, is outlined with what would be the pencil line. Generally speaking, it is the mud flats below mean high water, and then as that follows the meander of the bay, and then there's a straight line that connects the two ends of the excuse me, of the meander. Chickaloom Flats is on the northeast side of the Kenai Peninsula on Turnagain Arm and faces the Anchorage Coastal Range and Potter Flats. The area has a local nesting population of ducks and geese, and the most important use of this area is a feeding and resting area for migrating ducks and geese and shorebirds. Up to 25,000 birds a day use these mud flats and tidal marsh. It's often a very necessary staging area when Portage Pass is closed, bad weather. Large concentrations of particular geese gather there when that happens. The waterfowl that normally transit Portage Pass area, Turnagain Arm, use Chickaloom Flats as a resting area and a feed area. This purpose of the bill is to assure an adequate habitat for waterfowl rather than create a stumbling block for future development of resources. There are currently no valid oil or gas leases in the proposed critical habitat area that would be disrupted by the formation of this critical habitat area. Additionally, there's nothing in the bill that would preclude further exploration of this area, and I'd encourage your support. Keep my comments brief. We have some folks on teleconference, I believe, and I'd like to give the rest of my time over to them and then be available for questions.
Okay. Are there any questions right now from the members? Representative Cott.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Bundy, we have seen this before, and I understand the intent. I think it's a good idea. I just have two questions. One is on the geographical longitude. Mm-hmm. Description is, I must be missing something here, but it sounds like this is kind of heading from west to west, and then we're taking the same trek back. We got a single line.
You're not the first person that thought that, but what it says is it goes from east to west along the mean high water line, which is the curved line, and then it comes straight back in a straight line, so we get a half moon shape here.
Okay.
Yeah, it follows the meander, which gives us a semicircle, basically. Otherwise, it would make a very narrow critical habitat area.
Mean water line, that was confusing, not having worked with those in the past. The other question, Mr. Chairman, I have is on page 2, lines 1 through 3, and it seems to be somewhat inconsistent with some of the other habitat areas that we have created, specifically as reference to some of the documents we had, the Dude Creek critical habitat area. Maybe I could get the sponsor to comment on why we have included a statement that the department shall permit the following public uses to continue without further approval by the department unless, this is the critical portion, I think, unless the department determines that the use is not compatible with the purposes.
The word permit, do you construe that to mean a paper document?
Well, I think
permit is, in this case, used as allow. The department shall allow the following public uses unless they're incompatible. In other words, if we were going to have some huge industrial activity there right at the peak of the migration, that would be incompatible. If they were going to do it 3 months later when everything's frozen up and there aren't any birds there, it would be compatible.
Well, I have looked, Mr. Chairman, I have looked at the purpose, and I agree with the purpose as stated, and I think the intent. Just a follow-up, then, the lead-in, that individual sentence on line 1 and 2, the department shall permit the following public uses to continue without further approval.
Mm-hmm.
That without further approval is not in any of the other critical habitat areas that have been promulgated in statute. And to me, we have enumerated some concerns for allowances, and it seems like that would be somewhat of a negative inference in the sense that anything that is not enumerated would then have to be approved by the department. Can you just comment on that? Is that the intent, or is
I think yes. If these items 1 through 4 here are to be allowed without further approval, and then if it goes beyond that, then there would be approval involved.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Davies.
Chair, I think if you read number 4, it kind of generalizes the concept here a little bit, and I think it allows the department a certain amount of flexibility to include, I think to take care of Representative Cott's concerns, because it says other related uses that are temporary in duration have no foreseeable adverse effects, et cetera. So it seems like there's a kind of generalizer clause there that it doesn't necessarily preclude anything that's not on the list, therefore.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, and it would generally, other related uses, say it falls in the in the realm of outdoor recreation, I guess, but whether you're talking about ski joring or somebody who likes take mud baths out there. I mean, it's a pretty broad generalizer, but it does, I think, relate to outdoor recreation.
To that point, it just seems to me that since, and I understand the intent of 4, it's kind of a catch-all clause, everything else fits into number 4 that's not listed in 1, 2, and 3, it seemed to me it would be a little cleaner if it were just identified as the department shall permit the following public uses to continue unless the department determines and strike out without further approval. Again, it's not consistent with other statutory habitat areas that have been created. And I am of the assumption that the department will, in fact, restrict any uses, either public or oil and gas, that is not compatible with the purpose, which is to protect and preserve habitat areas, especially crucial to the perpetuation of fish and wildlife. So it's just, I think, a point that we are leaving a little bit open here as far as discretion to the department, and they may place some restrictions that maybe, in their wisdom, do not fall within number 4. I mean, that's a very general area that we're dealing with here.
Mr. Chairman, if I might ask Jaron Bruce from the department here, if he could join me and perhaps shed a little more light on.
He was next on my list to talk, so we'll go with him now.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, committee members. My name is Jaron Bruce. I'm representing the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. Through the chair, to respond to Representative Cott's question, I think my understanding of the intent here is that these activities, these recreational activities that are listed here, have been going on in this area, and the sponsor wants them to continue. These are the kind of activities that are normally allowed in these legislatively specially designated areas because they don't provide a, or pose a threat to fish and wildlife habitat, which is the protection of which is the critical component in designating these areas. Here, I guess they're specified in more detail than they are in some of the other plans, as you recognize. But I think in the spirit, they're consistent with the way the other areas are managed. Recreational uses of the critical habitat areas and the game sanctuaries and stuff in other areas like that are allowed, as long as they don't conflict with the protection of the habitat that is involved there.
If I might add on there, Mr. Chairman, I'm not sure I completely understand the concern. My intent was that, as Mr. Bruce had mentioned, these are traditional activities, and I didn't want then some strange change of administration down the road 20 years to suddenly decide that if you want to hunt there, you're going to have to get a permit. And so, you know, I didn't want them to, that these traditional activities should have to be restricted in the future. Does that answer your concern? I'm not sure I understand where your change would take us.
John is yours to clarify.
Oh, John, Representative Davies.
I had an amendment in mind that I think would resolve Representative Cott's concerns, but then on the last comment that Representative Bundy made, I'm not sure that it would still remain consistent with him, although let me try that. I would move that we amend lines 1 and 2 by, in line 1, striking the word permit, substituting the word allow, and then in line 2, striking the phrase without further approval by the department.
If it makes things more comfortable or clearer for the committee, I think it doesn't affect the goal that I'm trying to achieve. The word permit has been discussed before, and it does have different interpretations.
Just remove that connotation, perhaps.
Representative Cott.
Mr. Chairman, that I think would be an improvement, at least a clarifier, although I would note that the word permit has been used in every other statutory creation of a habitat area, and it wasn't so much the word permit, although it does lend itself to a little bit of discussion, but it was the without further approval that was kind of concerning to me, because I think it does offer some kind of a negative inference that perhaps if another type of activity, which is not listed on here, would then have to go back and get authorization or approval by the department, and with 4 being a very general clause, some things that might come to mind would be three-wheeling. Would three-wheeling fall within that category? It's temporary in nature. Does it have foreseeable adverse effects on vegetation? It's questionable. So, I mean, there's a little bit of discretion that we are giving the department to some degree with the words in there without further approval. And that was my major concern.
Mr. Chairman, to speak to the specific point of that example, on the other side of the inland, Susitna River, mouth of Susitna River, they also have a critical habitat area. And the department has specifically limited the use of all-terrain vehicles to the commercial fishermen who have beach sites there to the fishing season and to within a quarter mile of salt water because, again, the nesting, they would be there at the same time the nesting birds were. And if it would become a very popular pastime, it could be a disruption. So I think I understand your point that there are other activities, but I would like them to then be allowed or permitted with the idea of the goal of the critical habitat in mind. Also, as I say, I don't have a problem with the amendment, but I don't know if you'd like to hear the testimony from the other folks, if that provides further clarification regarding your question.
Representative Ostrom.
I think that's a good point. I think maybe we should listen to the rest of the testimony before we vote and then make a determination.
Did you have any more to add?
Would you, Mr. Chairman, would you like for me to give my testimony in support of the bill now?
Yes.
It'll be very brief. The Department of Fish and Game does support this legislation. A couple of things that I just might indicate for you to think about in reviewing this legislation is that the one thing is that the Department of Labor estimates that Alaska's population will grow by 40% over the next 15 years, and a very significant portion of that is likely growth is likely to occur in Anchorage, and we believe that it is important to establish some areas for these people to enjoy these kind of recreational activities related to Alaska's fish and wildlife and look towards the future expecting this growth so that these opportunities will be there for future Alaskans.
Are there any questions for Mr. Riss?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Coben.
Thank you. Maybe you could indulge a freshman legislator here a little bit and tell me exactly what the difference of establishing a critical habitat area is and if we just left it alone. It's
What a critical habitat does is it allows the department to manage the area so that the primary purpose in managing the areas is for the protection of habitat critical to fish and wildlife populations inhabiting that area. So then there is a need for someone coming into the area wanting to engage in some kind of activity to ensure that their activity does not damage that habitat and degrade it. So that's the difference. As Representative Bundy earlier said, it's the most mild form of land use designation, and it simply elevates fish and wildlife habitat up the ladder in terms of consideration, but it does not preclude other uses.
Mr. Chairman, you have a follow-up?
Please do.
Are you aware, has that area been explored for oil and gas? Has there been seismic tests and stuff done in that area? I mean, there was testimony here that it's not a significant area that could be that would be developed. Has that been proved out?
I could answer that in my just own personal experience, the Kenai has been thoroughly examined on a seismic basis, and there are no, as I said in my testimony, no oil or gas leases there or contemplated. Also discussion with Alaska miners. There are some, there's no offshore mining potential that they're aware of in that area. And again, remember, we're talking about the mud flats, not, it stops even at the water line, low water line. So it's a relatively small area. It's the alluvial plain of the Chilean River.
Yeah, I'm familiar with the area.
Any other questions? Representative Davies?
Sorry.
Any other questions for Mr. Bruce? No, thank you.
Thank
we'll
you.
We'll go on to teleconference. We do have a Dr. Scott online in from Anchorage. Can you hear me, Dr. Scott?
Yes, I can.
Would you care to give your testimony?
All right. Good morning, gentlemen. I think that it's important to have, this is not a big area, it's an area that a lot of people have enjoyed over a lot of years. And the most important thing is that it's an area that's important to the waterfowl under certain kinds of circumstances. And that was mentioned by Representative Bundy in his statements. When the need is there, then it's a fallback position for birds to wait it out until a pass opens up. And that's really important. Otherwise, you can lose large numbers of birds. And certainly, we need to give an opportunity for people to develop areas. But there's not, kind of ridiculous to think that anybody's going to go out and put a golf course on mud flats. So I think that it's important first to think about the waterfowl and the other birds that stays there. And I think that the whole intent of the thing is to better the situation for everyone. So I really can't see any argument not letting it go on through. I would strongly urge that you pass it.
Are there any questions for Dr. Scott? No, thank you, Dr. Scott.
Hey, thank you. Good luck.
Thank you. We have a John Henderson in Anchorage. Are you there, John?
Yes, I am.
Give your testimony, please. Excuse me.
Okay. I'm a member of the Alaska Outdoor Council, former trustee. I'm on the National Advisory Board of Waterfowl USA. I'm its Alaska Chapter Secretary. I'm the President of the Alaska Waterfowl Association and a member of DU. DU members and their officers cannot participate in anything politics, so what I'm saying is from Alaska Waterfowl Association and Waterfowl USA and Alaska Outdoor Council. I spoke with both Dick Bishop and the President, Rod Arno, of the Alaska Outdoor Council, and they fully support this legislation. Likewise, as a DU member, and knowing hundreds of other DU members, I know the DU members support this legislation personally. The area is about 22,000 acres, and it is important, especially for migrating ducks and geese and thousands of shorebirds. The land abuts the Kenai National Wildlife Refuge, and thus the state doesn't have the normal interest it might have in the upland there. However, the establishment of the critical habitat area will be compatible with the Kenai National Wildlife Refuge. We support the amendment that was suggested, striking the word permit and striking the words without further approval by the department. Being an attorney, I can tell you some people can get confused about words like permit. I think that would be a good thing to do. And however, if it isn't done, we still would support the legislation. This is one of those pieces of legislation that is a careful oversight of the land. It's not going to cost anything for the state to do this. There will be no extra employees. The fiscal note on it last year was a zero. There also is a significant red salmon run that goes up the Chickamauga River. So both to commercial and sport fishing people, that aspect of the protection, the oversight, is valuable. This is not meant to preclude oil and gas exploration and production, and that is done on the Trading Bay Refuge. It's done in the Redoubt Bay Critical Habitat Area and on Susitna Flats. The bill is consistent with the kind of protection the legislature has afforded the salt marshes on Cook Inlet. You may not know it, but the state of Alaska has established, through its legislature, the finest coastwise waterfowl habitat and refuge system in the world. There isn't anything that's even close to it. You have protected more acreage than exists on the entire east coast of the United States. And I might add, the United States on its east coast and west coast has lost most of its salt marsh. If there are any questions any of the members of the committee wish to ask me, please go ahead. I would note that there is a thriving duck population that does nest there along with a few geese. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions? If not, thank you very much. For the record, Representative Barnes is here at 8:25.
Well, Mr. Chairman, you didn't have to tell what time.
And she was early. Next online we have from Matt Sue, Mr. Rod Arno. Please state your name and for the record and who you represent. Mr. Arno?
Yes, Ron Arno. I'm president of the Alaska Outdoor Council. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, committee members, for the opportunity to testify on Jack Henderson has summed it up pretty much more all of the Outdoor Council's views. The main point being that as the Anchorage urban population continues to grow in the Anchorage Bowl, that we believe these areas, these tidal flats are critical, particularly for times when the weather blocks portage paths and the waterfowl then need areas to congregate to rest before going through the pass. So the Alaska Outdoor Council does support this legislation, mending the permit to allowed would be preferable, and we feel that the fish and game oversight of this area would be critical. Thank you.
Are there any questions for Mr. Arnold? Thank you, Mr. Arnold. Is there anyone here in Juneau that would like to testify? Is anyone else on the teleconference that would like to testify? If not, we'll move on. We do have an amendment before us. What's the wishes of the members? Representative Cott?
Mr. Chairman, before we get to the amendment, I wonder if we could call a member from the department up again. I have a question for him. Maybe you can answer. And the question is framed as such that we have listed or enumerated some activities that we want to continue. We want to make sure the department knows that. And I'm just going to use this as a theoretical example. But we heard from testimony that perhaps the Anchorage Bowl area could grow in excess of 40% over the next how many years. And we've allowed the use of campfires in that particular area. And this is one of the items we have enumerated. If at some point we find that the use of campfires is no longer within the purpose statement, that is, protect the habitat, what would be the action of the department to notice that to the public?
Through the chair, Representative Cott, it could be noticed in a number of ways. One way probably that would be used in the very beginning would be to post signs in the area saying that campfires were only to be allowed in certain places or not allowed or whatever, but signage would be one way that it would be noticed. Also, a management plan for the habitat area will be developed, and it could be included in the management plan and then would be available for people to pick up at local fish and game offices before going to the area, that kind of thing. And there are a number of ways that it could be noticed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Are there any more questions? What Representative Barnes?
In the C section of the bill, where the proposed amendment is to be placed, the department shall allow, and goes on, unless the department determines that the use is not compatible with the following things. What kind of a track record have you got in critical habitat areas as to not allowing other uses to continue when these items are part of the legislation?
Through the chair, Representative Barnes, I'm not sure I can answer that question as far as what the track record is for all the refuges and critical habitats over the period of time since they've been established. I think my impression is that generally the public in Alaska supports this program and enjoys the use of these areas and the wildlife that and habitat that it protects. But I'm afraid I'd have to look into that question and get back to you with a more detailed answer.
Mr. Chairman, if I might, you obviously know some public that I don't, because I don't know many Alaskans that support critical habitat or lockup of the land. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Are there any more questions or discussion on the amendment?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Wogan.
When you read the amendment, the department shall allow the following public uses to continue by the department unless the department determines.
No.
Because it was struck without further approval?
By the department was struck also.
Oh, by the department. Oh, okay. Thank you for that clarification. So continue. Okay.
Are there any more questions? Any discussions on the amendment? What's the wishes of the committee? I'll call for the question on the amendment. We'll have a roll call vote.
Representative Osterman?
Yes.
Representative Ogun?
Yes.
Representative Davies?
Yes.
Representative Cott?
Yes.
Representative Barnes?
Yes.
Co-Chairman Williams?
Yes. Motion's carried. It's a pleasure of the committee on the bill. Representative Cott?
Mr. Chairman, I would move that we move House Bill 58 out of House Resources as amended with individual recommendations attached to the fiscal. Ask for unanimous consent.
You've heard the motion. Is there any objection?
Not Mr. Chairman, I won't object to moving it out of the committee, but I will not support passage of the bill, so I'd like that made matter of record.
We'll have a roll call vote.
Mr. Chairman, I'm not objecting to it moving. I just want it made part of the record that I will not support this bill.
We will have a roll call vote.
Okay.
Representative Cott?
Yes.
Representative Ogun?
Yes.
Representative Barnes?
Yes.
Representative Davies?
Yes.
Representative Osterman?
Yes.
Co-Chairman Williams?
Yes. Motion's carried.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, committee members.
As I mentioned earlier, we will recess this meeting until 1 p.m. to take up House Joint Resolution 7. Stand in recess.